Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today is the finale to celebrate March. Kind of. Next week's episode is also a celebration episode. It's actually the 3-year anniversary special featuring my best friend, Dr. Jonathan Roy, to talk about his dissertation, which covers topics like understanding what shame is and how it's different from humiliation or guilt, all terms that we kind of jumble up together. There's a really good episode coming out next week dealing all about that. But this is the final episode within the context of this Celebrate March, where in each episode we've been looking at people who have made an impact on faith, religion, pop culture, sometimes all of the above. We've been talking about people from children's television hosts to people who started cults and a lot of things in between. And today, to wrap things up, we're going to talk about me, because it's also my birthday this month. It's actually my 30th birthday this month. And although I have had nowhere near the kind of impact that Chuck Norris, L. Ron Hubbard, Dr. Seuss, or Mr. Rogers has had on people. But just to kind of keep with the theme a little bit here, I thought I would sit back and tell you the story of the origin of my name. Hey, kids, did I ever tell you the story about the origin of my name? It's an interesting story. I know that sounds like this is going to be a real dullard of an episode, but trust me, this is actually, I think, an interesting story. What's in a name? You know, that's one of the big questions here, is like, what is in a name? What is the power behind names, or the meanings that we associate behind names? Well, let's look at the definition first off of Brandon. Let's look at the etymology of the word Brandon. So it's derived from two sources. There's an old Irish deriving from the old Welsh definition of the name Brandon, the Anglo-Saxonized version of Breenhin was the old name. But there's also an old English use of the name as well. In old Irish / Welsh, the name means prince or chieftain, while in the old English, the Bromdon means bush hill. We're off to a really interesting start, aren't we not? So in one source, it is this like idea of a prince or a chieftain, which kind of plays off cool with the fact that my last name is Knight. And in the meantime, in the old English, it means bush hill. Like, who wants to be named bush hill? Who came up with that as a name? But as we all know, when it comes to understanding the meanings of words, the best source for this information is, of course, Urban Dictionary. If you're going to look up the meaning of a word, you should go to Urban Dictionary. And it was one of those times where I was actually like pleasantly surprised with what my name, I was like sweating bullets putting my name into Urban Dictionary, because we all know what could pop up, and it's probably related to sex. You know, that's like what 98% of what of the terms that show up on Urban Dictionary is about some kind of weird thing in that realm. So I was like, oh boy, what is my name going to be? And I was pleasantly surprised, and it actually was like well fitting of a definition. I think I was represented of all of the personality tests and quizzes I have taken, of all the BuzzFeed quizzes I've taken in my life. Urban Dictionary, I think, has defined me the best, or defined my name the best, because it meant like a guy who is reliable, who doesn't like take all of the attention, but kind of plays like in the background, someone that, you know, is a solid person, a solid guy that you want to have in your life. And I was like, oh, this is like a surprisingly not raunchy complimentary definition from Urban Dictionary. What do you know? It's way better than let's go, Brandon, which is some weird code for F Joe Biden. I have tried to understand that thing for a while now, and I still don't quite understand how we get from A to B, but whatever. So yeah, when it comes to the name Brandon, we're dealing with a prince, a chieftain, a Bush Hill, or a really reliable person. So now that we all have a good working definition of what a Brandon is, let me tell you how I actually got my name. Because one of my favorite parts about the story behind my name is that it's prophetic in a way. Not necessarily how we would understand prophecy, biblically speaking, but like there's an odd amount of foreshadowing that goes on in the story of how my parents got my name. So let me take you back to a magical time known as 1993. So the year is 1993, and my parents are not newlyweds. They've been married for a few years, still very young, very much in love, still in that, you know, nice honeymoon phase, right? And they were pregnant with their firstborn son, that's me, and trying to come up with a name. And apparently some people, it takes them a little bit of time to come up with a name. Claire and I had the name Cooper picked out before Cooper was even like remotely something that was going to happen. We just always liked the name. It did take us a minute to pick out a girl's name, but when it came to Cooper, we like had that picked out years ago. Anyway, so my parents were working on trying to come up with what I was going to be named. And like most young couples, they watched a movie and they were deeply touched by it. We all have that one movie, right? All of us couples listening, we all have that like one movie that we like to, you know, just it. We have lovely thoughts about our significant other when we watch it together. You know, I really enjoyed when Claire and I went and saw the live action Beauty and the Beast movie together. It kind of holds a special place in my heart just because that's her favorite Disney princess. And it's, you know, the Beauty and the Beast song. It's a cute song. It's a nice romantic song. Of course, also we feel the same way when we watch Empire Strikes Back. But anyway, so my parents were working on my name, and they watched a movie called Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Not where you thought this was going. So there's this movie that came out right around that time, starring Jason Scott Lee, no relation, portraying Bruce Lee. And this is the story of the... We get the martial art movie career, we get the formation of the Tao of Jeet Kune Do, but it really focuses on Bruce's relationship with his girlfriend, then wife, Linda. And what is interesting about the relationship between Bruce and Linda is that though he was born in America, Bruce is Asian, and Linda is, I think she's still alive, a redheaded white girl. And this was the 60s and 70s, where interracial relationships, interracial marriage was still very much looked down upon. I feel like we've gotten to the year of our Lord 2024, and we finally have kind of crossed that line where it's like we're pretty much okay with mixed race couples now, but I still feel like there's some people out there who are really not into this idea. I don't know why this is such a thing for people. But anyway, you have Bruce, who is Asian, particularly, as you know, especially in appearance, and Linda, who is a white American girl, and they loved each other. They love each other, and they want to be together. But a lot of Bruce Lee's story is doing things that rubs against cultural grains. You know, he's dating this white girl, and this causes a ton of tension between at least in the movie, and this is, you know, it's a biopic, so things are dramatized, but this causes a lot of tension between Linda and her mother, or Bruce is teaching Wing Chun Kung Fu to, you know, Americans, white and black people, and that upsets the Asian community, and he, no joke, does have to fight somebody in order to win the right, in order to continue to teach people who were not Asian. That actually did happen. It's a little bit dramatized for the movie, but that really was something he had to do. It sounds like something that would happen in a movie, but true story. Anyway, so this is a lot of Bruce's life, is like, as an adult, is like pushing cultural boundaries, pushing cultural norms. And as I said, again, a bit dramatized for the movie, but this causes tension. This causes a break between Linda and her mother until they have a child, Bruce and Linda. They have a child, and in the movie, Linda's mother comes to their apartment and had found out that they had this child and really wanted to see her grandchild, even though earlier on in the movie, she was making a fuss about how their future children was going to possibly look. And, you know, when this scene comes where now she wants to meet her grandchild, Linda is like blocking her at the door, doesn't want to let her in. You said all these horrible things about us, and now you want to meet your grandchild, stuff like that. But in the background, you hear Bruce say, "Grandma's here. Hey, Grandma's here." Keep in mind, this is like a fresh baby, so obviously the baby's not going to respond. But you just hear Bruce going, "Grandma's here. Grandma's here," to their child. And I'm getting choked up thinking about this scene. It's been a while since I've seen this movie. Linda's mom comes in, meets her grandchild, and you see this like moment of reconciliation, right? And it was this movie and this scene that inspired my parents to name their firstborn son Bruce. And they decided to change that because Bruce is a bit of an old-fashioned name. The last person I knew who had the name Bruce was the shark in Finding Nemo, and decided instead to name their firstborn son after Bruce and Linda's firstborn son, Brandon Lee. So that is how I got my name. My middle name is not Lee, but that is how I got my name. I am named after the late Brandon Lee. Like I said, there's a bit of like odd foreshadowing prophecy kind of thing going on. Thankfully, I did not tragically die because that did happen to Bruce and Brandon. They both died. I'm actually now older than Brandon Lee actually lived to be. Also kind of convenient to the fact that we're talking about all of this in the remake to his iconic film, The Crow. The trailer just dropped. I think it was like yesterday or the day before, and it's coming out later. I think it's in the summer. It's coming out. It's not really looking that great, but whatever. Still probably going to see it. But no, I have not died tragically at a very young age. I think I'm like 2 years away from when Bruce Lee suddenly passed away. But the interesting like prophetic part about all of this is the fact that I did become a martial artist. Like, I don't think when my parents like had me that they were like, well, now that he's got the named after a martial artist, we obviously have to make him a martial artist. I don't think that was their plan at all. You know, I grew up in the middle 90s, which was of course the height of all things Jackie Chan. I grew up watching Rush Hour, Mr. Nice Guy, Rumble in the Bronx, like on repeat. And that's what my parents told me. I also loved the show Samurai Jack. That was like my cartoon when I was a kid. And my parents told me when they took me to my first Taekwondo class, like, hey, you could be like Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan doesn't do Taekwondo. But I didn't know that. I was a, whatever, 8-year-old boy, eight years old at the time. So like, I was just going to believe him, you know? But even further than that, like when I was a teenager, I studied Jeet Kune Do, the very philosophy that Bruce Lee developed himself. You know, I read the Tao of Jeet Kune Do. Every martial artist goes through a Bruce Lee phase and then never gets out of it. We're just keep watching the movies. But I was really eating up the Tao of Jeet Kune Do, the studied the philosophy that has become a martial art, kind of. It's not supposed to be a martial art, it's a philosophy with movement. I know, it's weird. Just go with it. So, like, I've seen these moments in my life where it's like, I was named after this guy. I studied his dad's, you know, philosophy, martial art, and The Crow is, like, one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, top five. Don't care what you have to say about the cheesy graphics or the total goth music that's in it. Like, it's an iconic film for me. And one of... Again, just like these weird like moments in my life that like, oh wow, this like really connects to me. You know, I watched it for the first time when I was in college, and still going through like a very dark time in my life with my depression. And for those of you unfamiliar with the story of The Crow, it's graphic, and it's based off of a comic book, a graphic novel. The author wrote it after his wife was tragically killed in a drunk driving accident. And he wrote this very graphic story to, as a way to like process his pain and his just hurt through all of it. And it's a story about a man and a woman who get murdered. And there's this old legend that sometimes when souls are taken to the afterlife, a crow will return one of the souls back to the land of the living for a purpose. And Brandon Lee's character, Eric Draven, is brought back to life a year later. And he goes to seek vengeance on the people who killed him and his wife. And it sounds just like violent and gory, but it's a story about love. It's a story about finding peace in the darkness and in the pain. And Brandon Lee's character, Eric Draven, when he was alive, he was in a band. And there's a kid in the movie who was like, knew him, hung out with him and his wife, Shelley. And she is talking to resurrected Eric, but she doesn't realize it's him at the time. And he knows who she is. And it's pouring rain. I think it's like Seattle or something this movie takes place in. It's just like pouring rain in the scene. Like 80% of the movie is just rain, really. And they're like kind of talking back and forth about like how it sucks that it's raining, or she's really upset about how much it's raining. And Brandon Lee says, "It can't rain all the time," which was a line from one of his band songs in the movie. So that way she knew he was alive. I know, complicated. I'm explaining like two different movies in one podcast episode. Sorry. But this line, "It can't rain all the time," has really stuck with me. You know, in the darkness and in the chaos, in the sin, in the depression, in the everything that's heavy and weighty, sometimes I have to hold on to this idea that it can't rain all the time. It can't be dark all of the time. That be just beyond the clouds, the sun will come back up. The sun is there, even when it's pouring rain. Even if I can't see it, the sun is still there. It can't rain all the time. The sun will break through. And maybe that's a little like cliche Christian-y of me to have this like undying hope that like it can't be pouring rain all the time. Even within my own like existentialism, like, do I really like agree with this? Like, no, I have to have this hope that God will break through the clouds. It can't rain all the time. So that's the story of my name. Again, I'm sorry this turned into explaining two different movies, but as we see, you know, what's in a name? You know, Brandon, is it a prince? Is it a bushy hill? Is it F. Joe Biden? Is it a guy who is reliable? Or is it a name that means symbolically love, reconciliation, the hope for peace, and the hope that God will intervene? Like, it's so interesting to me, like, how much this has kind of played into my life. Not intentionally whatsoever, but just this, like, this idea of, like, the times where I've been the person reconciling, the times when I've been given the opportunity to love someone, the times where I've been given the opportunity to bring peace into a situation, and, like, how this has kind of been the story arc leading up to my, to this point in my life of, like, being from the get-go just kind of this name that symbolically represents love and reconciliation, and later on just kind of adding this idea and the hope of peace. Like, and I think that really shows, like, the significance that could come with a name. You know, this whole series we've been looking at significant people, you know, but these people have significant names. The name Mr. Rogers, Dr. Seuss, like, these are names that mean something within the world of, like, childhood growth and development. Chuck Norris has a name that means something within Hollywood and martial arts and masculine identity. L. Ron Hubbard has a name that means something within the sphere of religious studies. Like, it's amazing to think, like, not just the person, but the name behind the person. It's also worth pointing out there's also a guy named Brandon Knight who plays in the NBA. Like, I was tagged once upon a time. I guested on a podcast before I was a podcaster. And when I was cited in the description, I think it was on Google Podcasts, it, like, showed a section that said guests, and it was a picture of that Brandon Knight who plays for, I think he plays for the Raptors or something. Anyway, and I just want to encourage you all, like, I know this is kind of a weird episode for us. It's a very, like, pop Christian episode for a guy who usually isn't, like, very pop Christian, but, you know, think about your own name. Think about, you know, go through. I think names should mean something, you know. There's a reason why we picked Cooper. I think that names should carry some type of meaning, and that we can even maybe retrospectively look out and see, look back and see, like, what our name has become to mean throughout our life. And I don't know. To me, that might be a little bit more important than what Urban Dictionary or Myers-Briggs, and especially the Enneagram, has to say about your personality. It's like, look at your own story. What does your story say about who you are, and what does your name mean? What's in a name? Well, that's it for me. Sorry, this was a bit of a heavy, weighty episode talking about movies with people getting killed in them and real people dying tragically. Three people who had died tragically all in one episode. Sorry, folks. But remember, it can't rain all the time, right? Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. Thanks for tuning in throughout this series. Again, we have the 3-year anniversary special next week. And after that, we're hitting April running hard with Apologetics 201. We're running it back with more apologetics, looking a little bit more this time into the science side of things. Also, of course, going to have a few more apologists that you should know, a few more world religions, and yeah, obviously more cult stuff too, because we just love the cult stuff around here. We're going to get a little scientific this series. If you haven't yet already, please consider rating and reviewing the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you would like to financially support the show, please go to buymeacoffee.com/MSLPOD. Paid on delivery. My Seminary Life Pod, you can make a one-time donation, or you can support one of our monthly tiers. Both of them get you access to exclusive blog posts. The $9 a month tier gets you access, or gets you access to me saying your name. It gets you a shout out here on the show. So thank you, Lori, for supporting the show. Please consider sharing the episode with someone who you think might enjoy it. Maybe someone else who loves Brandon Lee and Bruce Lee and The Crow and all that good stuff. And that's it for me. I said all the things. And you can go into the description to find links to all the important stuff as well. Thank you for listening. This is Brandon signing off, reminding you as always that it can't rain all the time.